Peace. Okay, Shelly, can you hear us? And can you let us know who you are, please? And Darren, when you get out.
Yes, I can hear you. And I am Shelly Eichens, and I work with Grinnell Group on behalf of Vertical Bridge.
Darren, can you hear us? And can you introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, my name is Darren Hunter, and I work with the Grinnell Group as well. I'm here on behalf of Vertical Bridge and Verizon with regards to the cell tower application.
And Caitlin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So for online, we have two. If you can't hear us and you're online, please let us know. We're kind of facing away from the microphone, so... Mike, can you introduce yourself as well and then let everybody know who you are for the record, and then I think we're going to get started with the meeting.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, you broke up a little bit, but can you please just introduce yourself for the record? And
sure. My name is Mike Long. I'm an attorney, and I represent Vertical Bridge, which is seeking the access permits for access to the tower for Wood Street.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, we will get started. And again, remind everybody online, this meeting is recorded as well. So with that, it is 6:31 p.m. Those that are able, would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. My name is Officer, call the roll.
Kurtz?
Here.
Beach?
Here.
Goodness?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Okay, so there are four voting members present, zero absent. One is online. We do have a quorum, so this meeting is now in session. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. One addition. You will see in front of you, came in Friday, is a recommendation for the library board to replace an individual that is resigning. So I'd like to add that to the agenda and place it just behind what currently is item G, the resignation of the library.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Can we also talk about...
Can you speak up, please, to make sure they can hear?
Okay. Can we also talk about one of the other, I consider, a nuisance property or a piece of property? I'm not going to mention names, but it's on 11th Street that looks like a jungle. And in the back, it's really starting to get...
Sure. I guess it's up to the council. You're more than welcome to add it on under item C, 10C.
Would it be 10C? Because that's old business. Is 10? Would it be new business?
Okay, no, we could add it in as new business at the end of the other business. Sure, 10. That's up to you guys if you want to add that to the agenda. So that would be after the sidewalk. Well, that would be in the other business.
Is this a property on the corner of 11th and Pine?
Do what, Caitlin?
I said, is this property on the corner of 11th and Pine?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
I make a motion to add that to the...
I do it right down from...
Oh, okay. Okay, so we need somebody to make a motion. Well, Caitlin made a motion, so the two adjustment items are to add the library board's appointments and a nuisance property. So, is there a second to add those two?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Okay, so we've added those two to the agenda. The first order, then of regular business, we have a public hearing tonight for a malt beverage license application. I will move into that. You should have that in your packets. This is the notice of public hearing upon an application for sale of alcoholic beverages pursuant to SDCL 35-2-3. Notice is hereby given that the Common Council will hold a public hearing to consider the following application for malt beverage license to operate within the municipality for the calendar year 2006-2007 licensing period. For Springfield General Store, Original West, 2 feet, 9 inches, and so 9 inches of 6 and all of 7, block 34, City of Springfield, Bonham County. This is for a retail on-sale, off-sale malt beverage and South Dakota farm wine license. The purpose of the hearing is to consider applications for this license, interested persons to answer questions regarding the item and hear public comment on the item. The Common Council invites all interested persons to attend and offer their comments. Those interested persons not able to attend are invited and encouraged to send written comments prior to the hearing to Springfield Finance Officer, P.O. Box 446, Springfield, South Dakota. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, if you needed assistance, please contact the Finance Office. Anyone who is deaf or hard of hearing has an opportunity with 48 hours notice. Did we receive any written comments or any other comments prior to?
No, we did not.
Okay. All right, so with that, we will go in. I will make note on the record that Vance Brandon, owner of Springfield General Store, and the applicant is present. So the first, for the public hearing, the first item is that the floor is now open for council discussion. I am going to ask between Amanda and Kayla to explain what kind of license this is first before we delve into it so that they can give you the details on what a retail on-off-sale malt beverage and South Dakota farm wine license is.
Pretty much what it says. The retail, the store can either sell packaged malt beverages or wines, South Dakota farm wines, or can sell it so you can take it out. So either on the premises or off. And it's only for malt beverage. It does not include any liquor. So it has to be malt as a base. And then the South Dakota farm wines. Any questions, let me know.
Yeah, I got one. I'm going to be a total dummy. What is a malt beverage? Is that beer?
Yes, like beer. Some of the seltzers. Not a lot of.
And in this case, South Dakota grown.
So I can't get wine
from Montana. So you can't get wine from Montana, or you can?
No.
Okay.
It has to be all
just South Dakota.
South Dakota to new states.
And again, we're closing at 8 o'clock here. It's just people will have sales, just trying to fill the gap from where working with Faye, because we don't want to cross over her too much her business. So the specialty stuff that is carried by other people. There'll be some bases, but there's not going to be a lot of blood water pumps. It's going to be more specialty type of items.
So you'd be able to actually buy a bottle of wine from you?
Yes, a South Dakota wine, yes. Okay. Yes.
It's essentially the same license that like Doug's and Casey's have here in town. It has, these licenses don't, the city doesn't hold them. They hold them themselves. The only thing through the city is I get the renewals and I give them to the business owners. They give them back to me with the payment that needs to go to the state and to the city, and then I send those on. But otherwise, the city doesn't have to hold the license. It's the owners themselves.
They're not like liquor where they're based on population.
Right, that's okay.
I believe the South Dakota Farm is kind of a new addition to it. It's within a couple of years. So, Council, I mean, it's your discussion time, so clearly you're asking. And whenever you tell me you're ready, we'll move on to the public comment period. Then we'll come back to Council.
I have no other questions.
Haven't anybody speak either in favor or against it? In any conversation? No concerns?
Okay, with that, then we'll move on to the next step, and I will open the floor up for public comment. So if you would like to make a public comment on this item, please state your name and your address. If you're in the room, I'd ask you to come to the podium, and if you're online, then raise your hand and let us know. Hearing and seeing no movement, then I will close the public comment portion and we'll return back to any further council discussion. And I'll remind you that the actual vote is a little bit later on in the agenda, so this is just the hearing portion.
I think what he's trying to do is great, actually, for Europe to hear. To a certain extent, and, you know, European and Mediterranean, the way that they do it. I mean, it's different. And I wish you all the luck.
Any other questions? Caitlin, do you have anything you'd like to add for council?
I don't have any concerns. I actually look forward to it.
Thanks. With that, is there any other further comments or anything from the council? Otherwise, we'll consider the hearing complete. If I hear nothing else, this is an action item further down on the agenda for the actual council portion. Okay, hearing none, then we'll end the hearing portion, and again, we'll be down on the agenda a little bit for the actual action. So that will get us back to what would be our normal schedule. So the next item up will be the minutes from the previous meetings, which we have two, the July 1, 2026 regular meeting and the July 14, 2026 special meeting. Please review and have action on those.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the July 1st, 2026 regular meeting and July 14th, 2026 special meeting.
I second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion. Cheryl has seconded to accept the minutes of the July 1st, 2026 regular meeting and the July 14th, 2026 special meeting as presented. Is there any additional discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So the minutes are accepted for those two meetings. Next item up are the claims for August. You have the list in front of you, so if you have any questions, there are 71.
You'll see there's a handful of large contributions.
Actually, there are large numbers. And they vary in the refund just based upon probably when they got into the system.
Good payment standing, too, has a lot to do with it.
I make a motion to approve the claims as presented.
Second.
Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion. Larry has seconded to accept the claims as presented. Any further questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So the claims are accepted. Next is the finance officer's report for the month of July 2026.
I think the highlights are out of the ordinary.
I'll make a motion to approve the finance officer's report for July as presented.
I second.
Okay, so Larry made the motion. Cheryl seconded to accept the finance officer's report for the month of July 2026 as presented. Any additional discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. And the finance officer's report is accepted. At this time, we have no donations. We'll move on to the next item. It's public comments. This is an opportunity for individuals to address the Common Council. Speakers are allowed to take 3 minutes each, and comments made on any portion of the agenda or any topic. However, all remarks should be respectful. No action will come of any comments tonight. Does anyone like to make a public comment? Hearing and seeing none. Then we will move on to the next item, which is official correspondence, which none was received for the month of July. Departmental reports are in the packet. I'll just, the only thing I'll really highlight there is two items. One, obviously we have a, loaner police car from the South Dakota Highway Patrol. So thanks to them. $0 lease, so of course we're responsible for all of it if something happens, but that will cover us through the acceptance and the arrival of a new vehicle, and it's going there actually. They did some work and transferred some things here recently from the old vehicle to the new one, so we're in good shape. So there, and then I'll kind of turn it over to Amanda a little bit. Our Secure South Dakota piece has been ongoing, but some things got resolved. I'll let Amanda discuss that and what the next piece of that is.
Finally wrapping most of that up. We've got emails set up as of yesterday. So we'll start getting those rolled out for each of you. There's a little bit of the SharePoint stuff that I need to move over, but I think for the most part we have it wrapped up. So, as far as, like, the departmental reports, there are just a couple of things. Travis Rule was hired for the street gang in the position of the $22. So we will actually be starting tomorrow. And then under the pool and parks, the last full day of the pool will be August 12th. And then there'll be the weekends, which I have to confirm the time for.
It's 1 to 6.
1 to 6? Okay.
Good job. I confirm it.
So 1 to 6 on the Saturdays and Sundays up to August 30. And then there's also the Springfield Youth Association. So. Oh, and Leslie is talking about vape.
That's from the library report. Is the second number the total for story time, or are we having to add those together, or what's...
So underneath that, you can see the address where she explains what.
Yeah, but total attendance equals the number of both children and adults. So is the total attendance the number on the right?
It'd be.
Yes, I would say that there's.
It was like say the last one, 17 went to mindful movement, two left, and two came.
And attendance for a turn. Yes. All right. Next up, the water treatment plant update. So I'll let Amanda kind of put in because we're at the point for the overall project trying to get to finalizing any additional contracts, that kind of stuff, and getting all that quote out. There were a couple of warranty items that came up that the guys are working on, so we will get a little bit more in earnest to try to get a open house schedule. Once it cools down a little bit, I'm thinking sometime in September, if there's something else going on. I pitched to the guys, do you want to do it on a weekday, evening, or Saturday morning? So get back to me and see what works out for them and their schedule so that we can get this open to the public to see it. See the impact of what we're going to do. They are clearly from the report, they are making some serious water, so to speak. 7.7 million gallons in July. I think a few sprinklers got shut off as it got dried out now from 8.6 million in June. So they're making a lot of water. And you can see there were a couple, and there's some testing that went on, and then, of course, they're doing quite well there. Hopefully, I'd like to, once we can get the final item signed, I know World Development was here last month and did a walkthrough as well, so hopefully we get that signed off and get this off the agenda and completely move on.
Okay. Why are we losing all this water?
Anytime they have water at, Terrace Park, those sprinklers are going, that's not water that's accounted for, so that's considered a loss.
So a better way
the guys explained
to me. A better way maybe to explain it is it's unmetered water that's going out, so some of it's the city stuff. Some of that kind of water. And there are leaks. We know there are leaks in water lines throughout the city. I haven't been discovered yet. Some are on private property, some are the city side. So lose it through those. Sometimes it's just on the recording of the meters. Still a lot of old meters in town that not the recording 100%, which gives a little bit difference between what goes out of the plants and what's recorded coming in.
Okay.
Which I don't think it was in there. There was some pond mooring that was done. That was in the report. To kind of explain that, that's a state requirement, too, to go in and find lead lines in town. So they were here once. State sent back that they would like to see more of it. And that goes into some of that stuff, too, is finding those. Finding lead lines. If you think of it, you think of store guards leak last year that, and we don't know how many months that went on. Or he got across the alley to know the basement. Pretty common for water systems. So
I figured that water leak would have the water would have come up instead of that, but it hasn't.
Okay.
So that's what that said. Any other comments? And again, council members, please get over there and if you haven't already, again, take a look at that facilities. Do that. Did you have the signs up? To mark the end of
end of the road now. Some safety ones. So yeah. There's markers so that you shouldn't just be able to drive through it if you miss. You don't know that it's the street ends. Yeah. Okay. Then we'll move on to the next item, which is a return to old business. The first item there is ordinance 625, the weeds and noxious vegetation, sections 90.020 through 90.023 and 90.025. This is the second reading on this ordinance. So we will also have a hearing type format for this. So at this point in time, the floor is open for council discussions on this ordinance. There were no changes from the first reading. If you have any questions, please discuss and ask now. Caitlin, do you have any questions before public comment on the second reading?
No, I do not.
Questions or any?
No, otherwise than that, when I'm walking around with seeing a bunch of people chanting here and there, but otherwise than that. No.
Okay. Okay, so at this time, thanks for the second reading. Then I will open the floor up for public comments. Same item, if you're in the room and you'd like to make a public comment, please come up to the podium, state your name and address. If you're online, raise your hand and we'll ask for the same information. Leave it open for a little bit. Hearing and seeing no one for public comment, I will close that portion of the hearing, and we'll go back to council discussion before we do a vote, which will be a roll call vote since this is a second reading. Any other comments, Caitlin? Any other comments before we go to vote?
No.
Hearing that, then since this is second reading, we'll go to need a motion to accept as the second reading.
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of ordinance 625 sections 90.020 through 90-023 and 90.025, noxious weeds and plants as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have Larry. Steve has made the motion to accept the second reading of ordinance 625 that presented. Larry has seconded. Any further discussion or questions among the council? Hearing none, finance officer, please call the vote.
Birch?
Aye.
Beach?
Aye.
Gudens?
Aye.
Taylor?
Hey. Aye.
So we have 4 ayes, 0 nays. That second reading passes. That ordinance is now approved. It is 20 days, I believe. It will also come in effect. So and it will be published as well. So about the end of the month, then it could start being active. Okay, next item is the personal policy manual, section 4, recruitment and selection update. You can see changes in red. I'll turn that over to Amanda to explain any items there.
Well, like Scott said, any changes or updates in wording are in red. Strike throughs are for obviously that is to be taken out. So you have section 4.1 through 4.12. And from the last meeting and sent out to
to make sure everything was good. I didn't hear anything bad.
I still have an issue with 4.12. I think I do not care for the wording of individuals who are hired may be required to establish residency within the city within a reasonable period of time. I think we need, it's vague. I think we need to have more of a concrete, either within 6 months, 8 months, 12 months to find residency. And if the employee cannot find a residency within the city limits within that time, then they could come before the common council and give their reasoning. Maybe they have to sell a home or some reasoning. I think when you have an open-ended like this in a policy, you could end up in a department against department because you're looking at the individual and maybe their department. So I think you need to be more concrete on what we're looking at and not vague when we're calling this a policy. I have no issues with any other of them. I do like how the Common Council has the last say on a lot of its personnel issues, but I think we need to establish the reasonable time period and get rid of the maybe required. This is city taxpayers' money. It's not federal tax money. It's not county. It's not state. This is the city's.
You're saying that somewhere in there, when that they need to be here within 6 months. If
not. I'm saying we need to give a time period. And then if you want to put 12 months, that's fine. And then if the employee cannot find a residence within 12 months, then they can ask to meet with the Common Council and plead their case.
Personally, I liked not to exceed 6 months.
And that's fine. I just think we need to have something confirmed and then with a guideline for future councils. Because councils change every year. They can. And so what one person thinks is a reasonable amount of time, the next person may not. And that's why I think you're putting, when you have something more concrete, black and white, then you don't have this gray area that could lead maybe to, I know we're a right to work state, but it could lead to lawsuits, I think, down the road if you don't have anything concrete.
Well, not only that, though, we'll close that loop.
Yep. So my suggestion right now, if you don't want to vote on that tonight, approve everything except for that. And pull this out so people can have a chance to look at it and read it. Pull out 412. I will make the motion to approve all except for policy residency requirement 4.12, and postpone that to the next meeting.
And change from, well, to put in possibly 6 months.
That would be, if that's your recommendation.
That would be my recommendation, is that we know once it's under the PDI, the state within the city of Springfield within 6 months. Otherwise than that, like you said, come and plead their case in front of them.
Or how about this? If you are okay with the
terminology in red, with the exception, of within a reasonable period, put comma there, not to exceed 6 months if hired to establish residency. So the very last part of the strike here.
But then we have this may be required.
May. The last sentence of the strike here to the end.
And then I do think there should be, because, you know, if somebody's moving here and they're trying to sell a house in another town and can't afford two residencies, I think that's something that we need to take into consideration. And the council then has the decision to extend it another 3 months or whatever. Just so the employee keeps the council informed. I think that's the main thing. Because then when the council member may be asked some questions, we have some documentation of, well, we're working on it.
Well, you could add a statement to the effect of, if they are not finding suitable housing for their situation in the 6 month time frame, they come to the council and request an extension on that amount of time to establish a residence.
Yeah, I think I would definitely be cognizant of the housing situation too. Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying is I think we need to, you know, look at, because we do have a housing issue.
Sometimes we do this summer, but you would have been in a bidding and we're on about 3 or 4. So, you know, that were those, well, they were family level. They would have probably the.
Right.
And I'll let Amanda explain, talk to this too, but I would, I just see one, discrepancy then when we talk about residency, because it starts out and says residency with the city or a reasonable distance. So eliminate the reasonable distance somewhere further down when it comes to actually moving here. So if that's what residency is, a reasonable distance, then.
But then what are you defining as reasonable distance? 30 miles? 10 miles? 2 miles?
Reasonable distance will certainly be, since we run city water out a mile, that's probably pretty reasonable. We do have at least one planted area plus another outside.
Something to offer would be, instead of establishing a finite distance, put in there something to the effect of being able to respond to a city situation within a certain amount of time.
But then again, you need to have like 10 minutes or,
right.
you know, are you going to allow an hour?
And that's going to fluctuate depending on the weather conditions.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but if we establish something like that, you know, sometimes that circle for the mile just across the road, you're outside and not qualified, that's not really fair.
Although I do see that going. Being defined in the actual job position.
Agreed.
What is on call versus what is.
Agreed. But that would also give us the basis for putting some of those things into the job application.
I think we need to really think about too, because some of our, we're not just employees, but we have volunteers that are covered by the city. For the fire and ambulance that do respond to things and they live outside of city limits. So we should be very careful how we word that area, because you're going to lose people then wanting to assist with EMS services.
But this is employees. They're volunteers. Isn't that a difference?
I'm still an employee of the city on the ambulance. Technically, I'm paid by them. If we think about it. They're covered under the city insurance.
Because they're reimbursed. They're reimbursed as a employee. So
But they're not.
That is a very skeptical distinction of what the word means.
So then we need to define.
Full-time employee.
Yes. Full-time employee
part-time over 20 hours.
something.
Yes, I think I
benefits. If you receive benefits, then probably.
Yes, benefits. I think that would be your key.
Could you also make a disclaimer on there saying that this is for employees only, volunteers are exempt from these requirements?
Could do that, and then identify what a volunteer, you know, volunteer fire department, volunteer includes.
I just think it's something important that we dictate in our writing, because we have a lot of people that do help in that situation that would come back and could say something. So thanks for entertaining that.
No, that's important, because there are legal definitions on some of these orders.
So I think I would continue with my motion of approving everything except for 4.12 and postpone 4.12 until the next meeting in September. And that way it gives everybody a chance to kind of reword it, taking in what Caitlin has said and everybody else here at the table.
So then I'll read what I have. So Cheryl has made a motion to accept the personnel policy manual section 4 recruitment and selection as amended. The amendment is to remove PP 4.12 from the approval motion that will be pushed to a further meeting. All the other ones through 4.11 would be accepted as presented. Second on that motion, and have any further discussion?
I'll second.
Well, Larry second that. So then again, if you go into the discussion, so this is motion that is to accept the personal policy manual section 4 recruitment and selection as amended, which is removing 4.12 as presented. So you have those items. That would be cool. Yeah. Any other discussion then on those remaining items minus 4.12? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. So that motion passes. So again, as amended, so section 4.2 is done through. That's whatever is there or still exists. Okay. All right, going on to the next item C. Here, the abandoned and nuisance property. We have the one added on the Jones property. I don't have an update on that. Still waiting, I know, on Brownsfield. So we'll get the Main Street property that the city purchased. Have the surveyor out. He was instructed to do those, right? So, mark the boundaries.
Thank you.
I know we got a confirmation on what the
time factor was set. Yeah, our fund is.
It was not
high
thing.
Priority.
So, but we do have the surveyor on the hook to go out and actually measure those. Most important one is to the west to find where that lot line is between that empty lot, the old gas building, and then what is owned by Mr. Golf Car. That high ball it off a concrete pad to actually get the. Any questions on that? I know I put out before, too, if there's a council member that would certainly like to help shepherd this through and turn it into a better project, by all means. We do know there's probably enough things found in the alley with utilities that this could probably very easily become something a little larger than what it is when we start talking about 100 years worth of water and sewer lines buried in that alley. Any other questions on those properties? No, I know we got them for a reason. Is there any update on the trailer? Please, the licensing on the trailer.
Yeah, for 30 days, it's up, so we can technically pursue. However, there are new requirements with DOR and with budget and Medicaid, so cut down then to
70. And the 30 days is for?
The certified letter sent to the property owner basically to get title and registration to put, get it put into the city.
That was a trailer that was out back in the water, but it was to keep it. So it was previously licensed years ago and was ready. So, yep. You only get ownership, but then get a license. Okay. The other outstanding one, the Ritchie or former Ritchie property, I have seen no action or cleanup based upon the nuisance items in the last, since the last meeting. So, I guess the last action that was done was the city attorney sent a letter. There's been some trailers moved on there, but that's not a part of the nuisance action, and that's actually an acceptable purpose for the property. So, and we want to try to do forward or relook at the letter that you sent and see if we need to re-image that a little bit.
The letter that you sent, though, that was, what, ending in April?
That was June, probably.
Yeah.
Or was it sent in June?
Sent in June.
Yeah, but then that progress is like a...
It's come to a halt.
Yeah, and we need to... You know, do something either, I'm not quite too sure, but you know, really what to do, but I anticipated him doing exactly what he's doing. Run on up to the fence and stop. And then he will probably end up coming and say, look at what I've done. You haven't done a thing in the last month or so. And I think we need to turn around and let him know that we aren't playing. You either clean the place up or we have somebody come on in and clean it up for you, and then you're going to be footing the bill if we could actually do that. That's it. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I think the most important thing here again is following the ordinance, it's enforcement. I think that's the most important.
And then also, I don't mean to cut you off, Cheryl, start on Paulson's Park too, because there's a lot of, it's a trailer park, not an RV park. And we need to turn around and enforce that too, because if I understand it by reading that, actually, every one of those RVs are not supposed to, or trailers, whatever the heck you want to call it.
I hate to stop you at this point, but I don't believe that that particular issue is on the agenda.
Okay.
Did you send a letter out in June? You sent one out in February. Did you send another letter out in June?
Yes.
I've been getting stuff put in my spam, so that's why I didn't see it.
Caitlin, do you have anything? Otherwise, we'll move on to the next item.
No.
Okay. The next item on there is planning and zoning discussion with the committee again. Last one, Kenzie was appointed. Vance has agreed to step up to be part of that as well. So, again, that's an important one. We'd like to get that one rounded out. So, thanks for those, so we can tackle not only that ordinance change, but then also kind of get some of this stuff shifted to an acting committee rather than that can get more into that planning and zoning. Okay, then nothing else on that.
being heard, then we'll move into new business. And Rusty did come in since we had started, so make note of that. And he has sent a letter requesting a raise in the garbage rates beginning September 1st as of $2 for a couple of reasons. You have a resolution 2026-04 is what this addresses, so a resolution amending garbage rates. Whereas, according to Chapter 52, Section 52.03 of the City of Springfield, South Dakota Court of Ordinance, we have reviewed and evaluated the garbage haulers request for rate increases. The rate increase is based upon an increase in landfill tonnage rates and fuel prices, which become effective September 3rd, 2026. He is asking for a $2 raise, which amounts to a single-person household. One pickup per week is $23 per month. A two- or more-person household with one pickup per week would be $29 per month. Of course, the commercials and those other rates that he does individually are unchanged. They're based upon his negotiations there. These are for residential. And the new rates would be effective, be implemented and effective September 1st, 2026. And since Rusty is here, if anybody would like to ask about the landfill rates, and then I think we certainly know about the fuel costs that are raised. So, for him. Got anything to add right here? It's pretty straightforward. So the landfill rates went up, but the fuel has gone up.
Landfill rates haven't gone up yet, but the fuel is the main thing. Landfill rates are going to increase first of the year. They told us that last year they're going to X amount of events, whatever it appears to keep up.
So do you think this increase right now will also be okay for January then too?
That,
are you going to ask for another increase?
That's
okay,
what
you
I
think it will
that's
be one time?
Yeah.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the resolution 2026-04, increasing the garbage rates as presented.
Second.
Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion, Steve, a second to accept resolution 2026-04, increased garbage rates as presented. Is there any additional discussion or questions by council? Okay, hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Okay, the resolution passes for the rate change effective September 1st. Yeah. Next item up is setting a date for budget, 2027 budget appropriations of working meeting date. I will let Amanda kind of explain where we're at and why we're doing this and the timelines.
So budgets were sent to each of you, so you kind of have the draft along with my notes that go along with it, hopefully explaining most of the items included in there. Last year, I know we had talked about setting a working meeting. This year, we got kind of pushed back with the CPI letter coming from the auditor's office, just some things going on in that office. I didn't anticipate having my CPI exact number yet, so that's why it's going to be a September 3rd first reading for the budget, and then we'll have to have a special meeting in September or to do the second. So in anticipation of that, it would be nice to set a working meeting. You know, no decisions to be made or anything to be voted on, just to sit down and walk through the budget with any questions that you might
have. Do you have a date that you are kind of looking at?
Well, I kind of work with you guys, so it's whatever works for you guys.
And you would like to have it in September?
Well, August.
Sooner than later, preferably.
State law, we have to have the first reading of the budget.
At the first meeting in September.
September. So that we wanted to go out
a working meeting, and it would be a working meeting, which there's no votes, so we just come in, review it, and go through those discussions on work. Budget has, so we the minimum of probably 2 weeks before that, 10 day public notice support.
We will have the auditors come in the last week of August. So you're looking at then probably sometime in the week of the 17th?
Honestly, or we could do it week. Anywhere in like 10, 11, 12 would be perfect.
My calendar is open.
What do you have?
I don't know.
How about Caitlin?
Can you tell me the dates again?
10, 11, 12.
See, that's 10th is what? Next
Monday.
That's Monday to Wednesday next week.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
Do it Monday for me.
Are we looking at daytime hours or nighttime hours for those interested in that?
Whatever works best for you. I will be flexible.
Open all periods, so not an issue.
I say do it to say about 8:30 in the morning.
That work for you, Caitlin? Monday the 10th at like 8:30 a.m.?
I'm double checking. Yes, that should work.
8:30, Monday, August 10th. Thank you.
Welcome.
Add that to the calendar at 0830. That will be here. Building. Again, that's a work meeting, not an action meeting. So bring your notes and please review the budget. If you have questions, make sure to get a hold of the finance office ahead of time so they can research any questions that you have. Okay, so then with that, we need to actually set that date.
I make a motion that we have a 2027 budget appropriations working meeting on Monday, August 10th at 8:30 a.m.
I'll second.
Any additional comments or discussion? Again, the motion is to accept the 2027 budget appropriations working meeting date for 8:30 a.m. Monday, 10 August 2026 here at Springfield Community Services Center. Any other questions or comments on that discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry, I just want to put in my calendar.
Okay. And those opposed, nay. So that motion passes. So that's the date time will be added to the city calendar for those, for them. Okay. Next up, Grinnell, I promise we're getting to you here pretty quick. So thanks for hanging out. Next up is we return back to the RV license application by Springfield General Store. We had the public hearing at the beginning of the meeting. So now the action is to accept, table, postpone, or deny the Springfield General Store's RV license application that he sent to the Department of Revenue.
I'll make that motion to approve the recommendations for Springfield General Store's RV license application to be sent to the Department of Revenue.
I'll second.
So Steve made the motion, Caitlin seconded to accept that recommendation for Springfield General Stores RV license application you sent to the Department of Revenue. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So hearing none, that motion passes, so we will action that RV license for Springfield General Store to continue on with that process. And then the next item, I'm recommending to the council, and
Vance has briefly accepted the challenge, I guess, to be a part of our planning and zoning. And if they get started, it's a 3-year term. So I would like to present a recommended appointment for Vance Brandy to our planning and zoning committee.
I make the motion to appoint Vance and the Planning and Zoning Committee for a 3-year term.
I'll second.
Okay. So Cheryl has Cheryl's made the motion to accept the appointment of Vance Brandt to the Planning and Zoning Committee for a 3-year term. Caitlin has seconded. Any other questions for discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay.
And thank you.
Thank you for coming up, stepping up, Vance. Vance, being a previous council member, too, already has some experience. This time, obviously. Good to get in, and hopefully we get a couple more and get a much more active group to address both the long-term 5-year plan as well as
How many do we have on right now?
You and Kenzie, and I believe Leonard McGee is still on. So,
what are we shooting for?
5. So we got room for a couple more.
Are you recruiting?
I'm not recruiting. I was just curious.
But certainly, you can stop by the office. They'll have the drafts of a proposed ordinance that kind of started this spring that does preparing zoning and stuff. So, and then you're here for a good one because we'll probably like to hear from you for this permit as well. So I know it's okay. With that, then Grinnell is still here. Mike and Darren and Shelly are all still online. Okay, so we are now to the building permit. It's a cell tower. It really is not the cell tower. It is some access to a site that is outside of city limits. The permit application is in. The reason why we're doing it this is kind of going back to some previous things with the council actioned a lot of these. This one is got a couple of things in there. Number one, it's actually a temporary or a commercial piece. It crosses jurisdictional lines, which we do not have a jurisdiction there. So as you can see, the application, this is Darren Hunter's with Grinnell Group. I'll give you a few seconds where you'll get to introduce yourself and what you're doing. There was a building permit that was sent to the county because this is on the county side of the line. From the city side, the FAA Part 77 airspace application was completed and approved last September. That impacts, obviously, our airport. That's the reason for that. And then you can see from here there's no covenants or anything on that. It has the parcel. I'll have them explain much more because their description of work is probably a little short, and they have a couple drawings in there. Essentially, what is correct is that the construction portion, the tower, is outside of Springfield city limits. It is in Bonham County. So their portion was done probably minus a couple of things that they may have acted on without completely looking at it. One is the ingress and egress, and the other was addressing. We cannot address it. It's not in the city limits, so it's not our addressing to do that. That's something the county has to do. This request is actually maybe not 100% complete, so I will let Darren explain it. This is for construction of an access road that they would like temporary from the right-of-way on Wood Street to the tower site. To explain the location, this is between 2nd and 3rd Streets on Wood Street, which is the far southwest corner of Wood Street. If you see the drawing there, And then it would be to the west of that. There are two lots that are zoned and are within the city limits. And then from that, it goes out. So this is where we're dealing with really. I think the real ask is to connect, one temporarily to Wood Street for construction purposes, remove that connection, and then open up, from their drawings, the alley that is currently cladded and is there, it's just not open. So that that will become their long-term access unless some other development happens to the actual location of the tower. So, this has been going on for a little bit, and I know Bo has been working with them on the city side. We never get to that point. So, several months to kind of get here back and forth. We're probably pretty close, so we'll let the council take it. Darren or whoever would like to be the spokesman, by all means, introduce your group and what's your request.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Mike Long. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, wonderful. I'm Mike Long, and with me is Darren Hunter and Shelley Eichens. We are a development team of consultants that works with Vertical Bridge, who is the tower owner. As the mayor mentioned, we received the zoning approval and the building permit for the tower, as well as the E911 permit. All those permits were granted to us by the county, and what we need to obtain from the city are the access permits from Wood Street to get to the property where the tower is going to be located. And so what we have, and I don't know if you've seen or had a chance to take a look at the site plan, but we're proposing two different accesses from Wood Street. The first one, and if you see on your site plan, it's the one to the north. That is the temporary access easement or access that we're looking to get for purposes of constructing the tower. That access will be in place for it's temporary, and it's really to allow us to construct the tower and move forward with the project, but with the understanding that that access is temporary. And what that entails is we would be cutting across the Luden property off of Wood. We will be going across their property onto the subject parcel where the tower is located. The lot that runs parallel to Wood Street is owned by the Ludens, and within that area we'd be putting down a temporary gravel easement, which would be removed upon the conclusion of the construction of the tower and the establishment of the more permanent easement, which is the one to the south. And In working with Bo Barrett, the one to the north, which is the temporary easement, that is permitted under the code and the city's code. And the one then to the south would be off of Wood Street as well. It'd be coming across the alleyway that's been platted, or the alley that's been platted, and then we get onto the subject parcel where the tower is located and continue on our access. In both instances, for the temporary and for the permanent access, which is the one to the south, the gravel road would be about 10 feet wide, and for purposes of everything, it would be running about both of them would be running the length or the width of the Ludens property, which is actually located in the city onto the subject parcel. So I don't know if anyone else has any questions, but the one to the north is temporary for our construction. The one to the south is permanent for purposes of the ingress, egress going into the tower compound. But the one to the south would be running through, as far as the city is concerned, the dedicated alleyway, which is, of course, undeveloped at this time. So that's all I have.
This is Caitlin Birch. I have a couple questions regarding that. Sorry, I don't have the picture right in front of me for where I'm located currently. But I reside in the area, so I have some concerns regarding your access. When you say north, is that right next to the, right across, like from the house that's across the street on Wood, on the east side? It's going to be straight across from their driveway, correct?
Yes, that's right. And it will only be on a temporary basis for the period of time that we're constructing the site.
And what is the purpose that could you use the permanent access to access that site?
I believe we could, but the goal is to get the tower constructed, and the most efficient way of getting in there is directly off of Wood across the Luden residential property into the tower site.
And the tower is sitting, correct me, it's going to be right in that northeast corner of that field right there that's platted out currently, correct?
The tower will be in the northeast corner of that field, yes.
Okay. And then my other question is, have you asked the other homeowners in the area what they, if they would, I guess, is that something that you guys need to do or have to do, or because for their concerns regarding this temporary access?
Well, it's permitted under the city zoning code, and in working this out with the city attorney and coming up with a strategy, we believed that the temporary access, given the fact that it was only temporary and for, you know, a rather short period of time, that it would not be and the fact that it's a permitted use, that it would not be, that nobody would be permanently inconvenienced by that.
Okay.
Are there any costs to the city for that temporary access?
No. We'd be responsible for all of the construction costs.
And then your the permanent access would be across from the alley that currently is on the east side of Wood, correct? Between Wood and Pine?
Yes. The alleyway is located on both sides of Wood. That's correct.
At that same location, generalized. Okay.
Just across the street on the other side, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have approximate cost for the permanent road would cost the city, that little bit of access there? Do we have an idea? Just a ballpark.
Do you want to go in the
Google
Earth what you can discuss with them as far as the alley? And construction and maintenance long term.
Certainly have in-depth discussion.
Is there a cost to the city then to open up that alley and maintain the city portion?
I think certainly once it's constructed, I think it would be
up to the city limits to float the city over.
Okay. No, wouldn't we have to go across the Lewis property?
No, it's already planted, so it's public right away already.
Okay, we'd have to pay for like gravel and maintenance of the road.
Maintenance.
We would Vertical Bridge would pay for the graveling of the easement or access in the alleyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we need to?
Did they maintain that long term, or we were asking, is that the city after they place it, it becomes a city maintenance, correct?
Correct.
Just up to the edge of the city limits.
Correct. So let me kind of clarify that, which is that as far as the actual, right now there's a platted alley. It's not open. We have nothing there. It's a green field. So, if I catch right, you said the Vertical Bridge would pay for the graveling, what they, their portion they need and the culvert to get it accessed. And then after that, the city takes over its little portion that's open.
I would tell you that what we could do is agree to maintain the entire graveled road, whether it be in the right of way or in the alleyway. We would be willing to maintain the whole thing like we do with in most cases, Vertical Bridge does maintain the entire access road. And so we would be able, I believe we'd be able to do that. And that would be right from basically from the edge of Wood Street into the tower along the whole route.
Is that something that we would need? And I'm talking to Bo. Is that something we would need an individual agreement on?
Yep.
Just since it would be a little different, it's not really a building permit. It would be longer.
Yeah, we could.
Yep. A permit that's some kind of agreement that says, as long as that's it, if the city chooses and starts doing some other planning and zoning there and the situation changes.
Just a road maintenance agreement.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, we'd be able to do that.
How long would you anticipate the temporary access road to be in place?
It would probably, I would say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 months. Depending on us making sure that we have, you know, everything buttoned up on the more permanent access point. I mean, Shelley, Darren, does that sound about right?
Yep, 6 months.
Yep.
When do you anticipate the start date of that?
As soon as we have your permit.
Yeah.
I will make a motion to authorize the building permit for the cell tower with the please help me here for a little bit with the agreement of the maintenance of the alley access road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Really nice to have you in there.
So that motion's for the temporary access, correct?
Well, it's for their entire request. So yes, it includes the temporary and then, essentially the city activating that alley and then us, the city and, Grinnell Vertical Bridge then completing a maintenance agreement for that alley portion long term. All right. So then the actual motion is to accept Grinnell Group's cell tower building permit plan application as amended with the alley maintenance agreement. Again, to make very clear, we have nothing to do with the tower itself. That's outside of city limits. That was done at the county. This is just the access point
from inside city limits and inside Wood Street. So Cheryl has made the motion.
Second.
So Steve has seconded that motion. So now I'm going to back up to the council for any discussion or questions. Before we move to a vote.
During construction, there's going to be an awful lot of traffic going along Wood Street to the construction site. There's going to be certain maintenance that needs to be done to keep that road in condition, because it's not in very good condition right now. What can you tell me about any plans or expectations you might have for that particular road?
Well, what I can tell you generally is what happens is if there is damage done to a road by a contractor, we fix it, or we pay the city to fix it, depending on how they want to do, want to go about things. So we could potentially, if Darren or Shelley, I don't know if you have anything else to add, but we could address something like that in our maintenance agreement as well, that, any damage done to the city property or the road, Wood Street, we would be willing to either repair it or, if the city was to charge us for the repair, we'd pay it. Is Wood Street, is it paved or is it gravel?
It's gravel.
Okay. Yeah, that.
Well, that portion of it is gravel south of Highway 37P.
Okay.
I think maybe a way to look at this is normally when we do a building permit, last year we had three houses moved into town. So as a part of that permit, there's a route for the trucks to come and go, because this is way off a designated truck route. And then, of course, once that's designated, then the property owner is responsible for any damage to any roadways and can be charged for any fix. And so I think we would likely add that to this permit. I'm not sure what exactly you're bringing in, but if it's heavy and it's on large trucks, we would want to designate a route. I'm guessing that would likely be the Wood Street all the way from Highway 37 and then would run straight, which that's actually owned by the county on the north side, and then it would hit the city gravel, if that makes sense.
I have a question.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think that's an issue, Mayor.
And we would add that to the permit rather than probably an agreement, since that's just during construction.
Yep.
I have a question. Okay, so you say this is a 5 to 6 month temporary access, and if we grant you that route, that part of Wood Street is never plowed for snow removal except south of 3rd Street and the portion by the assisted living there and 5th Street, I believe it is, at the bottom of the hill. They don't plow that. Would that be something that you guys would be willing to reimburse the city for if we maintain that access if it snows?
The plowing of the access point, the temporary one you're talking about, is that correct?
No.
Go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, what Caitlin is saying is, so Wood Street has a stretch where there's no houses on the about 2 blocks north of the access point. It gets a lot of wind-blown snow, so with no houses and no reason for access, if it gets blown shut, the city normally does not open it for any reason, and I don't foresee that this permit would change that, per se. We're quite a ways out, although we, certainly have reason to maintain it, but it's very expensive and hard on equipment to do that. That would be something I think is part of your move permit, you need to stay with the city, and if you're still hauling heavy stuff and that happens, we need to be, you know, have an alternate route for that or something so that that can.
Okay. Got it.
We don't want to tear up a payloader trying to open up snowdrifts just so you can, you know, get there when we could have an alternate route that's normally cleared.
Mm-hmm.
To do that. So, and long,
as long as
long
that
term,
route is not my front yard.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And then long term that is plowed in front. I mean, that's maintained in front of that piece of Wood Street, so it's not unless something changes and we see some other construction there that results in, you know, a change, then it's, but probably not during the time of your construction. So,
okay.
I guess I would like to throw out to the council too, rather than have it to be determined. If they're looking at 6 months, or, you know, the 3rd of August, I probably would like to put an end date on it. You know, if we reach out 6 months or 8 months with a considerable time so that we have a physical, as we've just gone through major projects, when something is completed is kind of subject to interpretation. So if that's the case, you know, and we're in August, I think I would probably put a, you know, no later than a first
like
of April date or something like that, that covers, I would say 1st of April, that gets into the winter and we don't need, you know, things being torn up in the middle of winter just to remove
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I think that's right, Mayor. It's a lot easier to remove a temporary gravel road when it's warmer than it is when the ground is frozen.
Yeah. So rather than us trying to gauge on when you start a project and how much should be 6 months, I think we just put up a date that would include 6 months plus a little bit extra, and then we have a known point in the future that if something isn't being done or you need to adjust it for construction, then we have something to discuss versus it kind of looks done, but we don't know. So
okay,
if that's okay, and I would suggest either the 1st of April or the 1st of May. Just based on the weather and stuff like that. So
1st of May, because in April it could be still a cold yeah. thing.
And then we would make that as an amended, just a part of the building permit request. So.
Okay.
So I need to amend my motion. Can you read what you have?
So currently the motion would be to accept the cell tower building permit application as amended with the addition of the alley maintenance agreement, long-term maintenance agreement for repairs necessary for construction.
And the conclusion date of May 1st.
Well, just for the temporary access point.
Right.
Yeah.
They may be working on it for longer than
right.
that, but just the temporary. So. And then temp access point is through May 1, 2027.
Correct.
Great. So we'll let her get her caught up. Just so we're all on the same page then. So then this would be the permit. The construction is as presented. The amendment is, one, is to add a long-term alley maintenance agreement. Two, add the short-term route and, responsibility to Grinnell/Vertical Bridge for, access and any damage to streets during the construction. And place the temporary access as indicated or as requested through the 1st of May 2027. And then by then it has to be removed. Or the city can then execute its ordinances or other legal action to penalty. Correct.
So, motion to authorize Grinnell Group cell tower building permit application as amended
with the addition of a long-term road use maintenance agreement for the alley, also including a construction road maintenance agreement with temporary access removal no later than May 1, 2027.
Yes? That's good. And then before I'll send it to a vote, I just want to make sure everybody knows to include Grinnell. We didn't have the city surveyor out there last week, and they did survey it, so all of this will be contingent on verifying where exactly the alley is based upon the city measurements from our surveyor and these access points. Wood Street is not straight to the world, so there may be off a foot or two from what your Grinnells may have done. So we're going to go with what the city surveyor has in place, and he marked the alley out to the city limits sign, or out to the city limits portion. So that's our reference point, and that's what we're looking at. So those are the boundaries for the public alley and the public right-of-way, and as well as the public street, so which doesn't necessarily need to be on here. If it's a little different, we go with what the city obviously is has marked. That's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And I know that you got utilities. Obviously, the alley can be used for utilities, easement, stuff like that. So your normal construction stuff there is. Level, so. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Otherwise, we'll go to a vote and.
Get a second.
Huh? Yep. Actually, you have a second. Okay. So, and actually, I guess since we did amend that, we'll begin with the amended version.
Yes.
For a second. So, one more time. These are important things. Obviously, we still have an agreement to do so. And again, this is kind of an interesting thing because this went to the county. It's on the jurisdictional lines, and that causes some consternation to figure out who did what and what it really should be. And we have public access, so. Anything to do with the tower itself is not the city's.
Okay. Motion to authorize Grinnell Group's cell tower building permit application as amended, with the addition of a long-term road use maintenance agreement for the alley to also include a construction road maintenance agreement with temporary access removal date of no later than May 1st, 2027.
Okay. That's the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I object.
All those opposed, nay. That's probably you, Caitlin.
Nay.
So the vote is 3-1. So the motion passes, 3 ayes, 1 nay. We will work up those agreements. I'd appreciate, Grinnell, that we stay in contact very closely with this to finish this off. It's cost, let's make sure that we get those agreements in place and that route so that we can. Okay.
We'll do that. Thank you, Mayor. And thank all you, right. Council.
Yep. Thank you all for joining us tonight on kind of short notice.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Next up, swimming pool policy update.
Okay. These are just a couple minor things, but that were brought up after the April 2nd approval, specifically for policy SP 1.5 regarding the facility rules. This is just including the or food option in the second line. So it reads, initially read, no pets in the pool area, but the policy recommendation is to include no pets or food. That's one. Just because it's been a problem and just keep the eating portion outside of the pool fence. And then on policy SP 1.7, there are two changes. The first one is in the fifth bullet point with the time cards. I apologize, I missed that, where they need to be turned in by the 25th of each month, not the 26th. And then the holiday schedule for July 4th, it was kind of worked out this year that 11 to 3 works better than 12 to 4. So those are the two recommendations.
Can we add on the change to the daily schedule to add now our new system of telephone and email?
Oh, yeah.
And what? Bright arrow? That new system that we have that tells you when anything goes wrong within the city, include that into the policy. So parents or people will know.
Full updates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was.
We've got down the Springfield Community Swimming Pool Facebook, but a lot of there are people that get that bright arrow.
And apologies. We have it on, posted numerous places. We have it on the website. We didn't make the paper quite in time, but that's not bright arrow.
It's new.
Well,
I'm trying to understand. You're wanting to not allow any food in the pool area?
Yes.
Then what's the point in having a concession stand?
It's to have the food remain just outside, to put the, picnic tables and that stuff outside, kind of on the northwest corner, and providing just a different area rather than inside the pool where it has been making a mess and clogging up filters and things like that.
Okay.
So they just sit outside. For some reason, I believe that's the way it was.
I don't see anything on there for bringing in anything to drink. You know?
Your beverage?
Yeah, beverages.
That was interesting. You don't take my beverages away. I go set the pool in hand. I want my water.
And beverages are a lot easier to clean up because all you got to do is.
There's been an issue with candy wrappers getting stuck in the filters and other places where the guys have had to even fish out stuff. And ice cream smushed into the concrete inside the pool area and just candy melting and sticky, and it's been an ongoing issue.
But, you know, what is it?
You spill a drink, it's a lot easier to clean. And this isn't saying, you can't, this isn't trying to do, outside stuff. This is just saying what you buy from the concessions to eat it outside of the fenced in area.
I understand it, but for their drinks and everything, you know, what is it? Make sure that they are plastic bottles or.
No cans.
No cans?
Or bottles.
No cans, no glass.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really needs to be this much of a policy, or is that just, I guess we can.
I think you might want to.
I guess you can add it down. That's not.
Especially bottles.
I would say no glass because they do sell
cans. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So.
Especially bottles or glass.
So no glass items, pets, or food.
Yeah.
There you go.
Any other items on that? So we have, from what was presented, there's two changes. Policy SP 1.5, the addition of no glass containers. 1.7,
work hours and scheduling, in addition to what was in red, is plus changes to the daily schedule will be posted via the Springfield Community Swimming Pool Facebook page and published on Brazen. Discussion comments on those two. If not, take your actions.
I make a motion to approve policy SP 1.5 and 1.7 as amended.
I'll second.
Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion. Larry has seconded to accept the updates to the swimming pool policy section, is SB 1.5, facilities feeling section, SB 1.7, work hours and scheduling, as amended. Any other discussion, comments, or questions from the council? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So those policy updates are accepted to be implemented. Next item up, we have a library board resignation, dated July 24, 2026. Dear members of the library board, please accept this as my formal letter of resignation from the library board, effective immediately. Serving on the board has been an educational experience, and I am grateful for the opportunity to support our library and its mission. I have enjoyed working alongside and getting to know each of you. Due to increasing time commitments, I am no longer able to give the board the attention and participation it deserves. And after careful consideration, I believe it is best to step down so the position can be filled by someone who can fully commit to the responsibilities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Sincerely, signed, Renee Peters. So there's action to accept that resignation from the library board.
I make a motion that we accept Renee Peters' resignation from the library board with thank you to her service.
Second?
I'll second.
So Cheryl's accepting Renee Peters' resignation from the library board with thanks, as presented. Larry is second. Any comments or discussion?
Being on the board, can I actually vote?
Yes. Now, this is one of those where the council member can. So those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. So her resignation is accepted with thanks for her service to the Evelyn Lane Libraries. And then as requested for the amended agenda change is to appoint Sue Weber joined the Evelyn Lane Library Board to replace her replacement to Renee Peters' position and her term.
Thank you. We accept Sue Weber to join the Evelyn Lane Library Board, and she's replacing Renee Peters.
For a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion, Larry has seconded to accept the appointment of Sue Weber to the library board for the remainder of Renee Peters' term. So any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So Sue is appointed to the board effective immediately. And thank her for stepping up to be a part of the library. Okay, two informational items. The first one, Amanda will talk about RLF, the revolving loan fund. She got with the board members and had them review existing policy, how it works.
So basically, we had met on Friday to go over and just, like Scott said, to update the package, because we have had a couple inquiries about the revolving loan fund, And in looking back through it, it hadn't been updated since 1981. Figured it might be time to do that. So kind of revamped it, put it together. I sent it to Bo, which we will go over some of the things in the back. So the informational items, I think, should be okay in meeting with the board. But, like, the promissory note, the security agreement, and those things at the end are those that I would just much prefer Bo look over and make sure that those are all up to snuff. So take a look at that. If you have questions, concerns, additions, whatever, let me know. And then hopefully we can have that on the September agenda for approval.
Did you send us a copy of that?
No.
Okay. Yes? No.
But it should have been in
the you sent out the review copy, not the potential updates.
I don't know. It'll be in your inbox.
There's one.
I was going to say, I thought there was one.
No, there's one.
Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't get any. didn't get Ben's letter either.
And then just to review, of course, there was a fork for that revolving fund. Should there a revolving fund? Should there be an application so that gets filtered through a board prior to brought to council and based upon their recommendation? So, and that is, you know, our one thing the city holds is a way to help potentially foster some business and stuff. And it is tied to job creation. Couple other metrics, so. So then the next item, Vance is here, is still here. So last month he had presented a public comment regarding the sidewalk cafe ordinance. Since we filtered through that, we're going to have a discussion about it. State, and it's pretty clear that at least on the state property, there's two very hard no's. One is they don't allow commerce on the state right away and all of Highway 37T, which would be Main Street. The Walnut Street is state highway, that they are paying for right now, as well as the sidewalk. And then the second item that was a hard no, that's probably really the one that we'll definitely take. Because of certain federal funding requirements, they have some issues sometimes with alcohol and alcohol sales or alcohol use on those. We are online right now for 2031 to have full sidewalk replacement from the assisted living center all the way out to Casey's as part of a program that has, as of today, certainly, alcohol is something that could lose those federal funding for that. So, that was a very hard no there. So that being said, it's not those are areas that we can't, an ordinance wouldn't apply to anyway since that's state property. That doesn't mean that we don't have a discussion about other areas in the commercial districts, or highway commercial or other places that's potentially doing something like this and what that might work and look like. And it's a good time to open that up. There is a state law that involves this, so. But Vance is here. He's done a lot of research on this, so.
On that state law, though, there is a they can't lift that or veto it. What I saw, now, I haven't spoken to anybody from the state about that. They do have an encroachment policy for special federal aid areas, such and all there. And a lot like that, so they have a policy there. However, they also state that the local board's application can be put forth to them for allowance. But I don't know how long that takes, and I don't know what the specific rules. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet because I got too many other things to do right now. So if I'm gonna get open anytime soon, I don't have time to do that. So, but I mean, So what I guess what we'd be asking then is still for the city to consider, and we can look at the state stuff, maybe talk to somebody down over for somebody to see, talk to somebody about whatever type of wavering you can do. But even prior to that, it's not on 37th for that, on the city, on the commercial properties in the city, right? So, right beside of this property, I believe it's still considered commercial in between, like, the bank where the store is, and, Casey Luke's, comparison, right? So, what's wrong with that side right there? So, we still would like to see an ordinance put forth and passed, within the city for the commercial thing. And I think for me, just kind of speaking off the cuff here for a minute. My wife and I, I work out there till 9, 10, 11 o'clock every night. I sit out there and I watch them at a track and it comes up in the city. Sit there and I kind of try to see beyond the crap that we have to tear down and sometimes doesn't get a little messed up. You can really see where this town can really, this can be a really walkable town. This can be a destination place for people. For markets, for all kinds of things, for anything, for whatever, depending on how your business is. And I know there's a lot of other people looking at it. I think having the ability to do a sidewalk cafe, even if it's restricted to 37 a lot because of the state rules, still on the side streets, that can really plus up business because, almost another example on the other side of me. That section as well. So maybe they couldn't have something seven, but they could possibly have something right there. So, how about this?
Chestnut.
Thank you. So along that way or whatever else. But there's lots of other corner lots that there could be a lot of opportunity for local events. A good example of that would be the stage right there. Those are the lots. There's been some talks with some different people to see if something materializes about potentially purchasing. Few lots that might be able to pay other people make. There are bits still being used. That would be really good for potential farmers markets in the future for the city or Christmas markets. We floated that idea out there. So anything, granted, 37 would be, but those things could happen besides. We'd still like to see them. Ordinance approving, sidewalk cafes in the city be approved. But there comes into details of the new show as for Garden 37. Well, even if we attack it today, that could be a year long thing. Were they city streets?
So there's a couple things in there, that are also potential things that I certainly would like to see looked at that maybe aren't sidewalk, but like you brought up Dustin Kirk from a stage area. Not everything is a street dance, where streets closed, but he has that area. How does that impact liquor and beer and that kind of stuff if somebody, to just have an event there? Probably not a sidewalk cafe thing, but that might be something that, the old community building, now the, professional services building that's under lease to the chamber, that front area certainly could be something that's developed maybe down the road or, short term have something at that property. We do allow it in the parks, that's just that. So there's, also a couple other things that can get tied into potentials that, like I said, longer term, start seeing some sidewalks in areas that we haven't before. That opens something up because we do have some vacant properties along the highway on both directions that could potentially do something. So, I think it's probably worth pursuing a little bit more and for the council to take a look at what those actual laws are and where they could apply. Highway commercial area would be the predominant. How that works with things like open containers, police department would be involved a bit too, and how how stuff like that police make sure that we don't have already maybe have a couple issues of walking on bars with
open containers, you know, making sure that we have something that's, things that delineate fences, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Clearly don't talk about staffing over towels, but things. Nobody would say.
That being said,
it's a fall day and it's 65 degrees and the sun is setting and Ben actually gets some time with her husband away from her kids for once, you know, on Friday night. She might like to sit down, have a glass of wine, watch the sunset. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just don't want us to look like too far at everything bad that could happen or still the good things that could happen. Brings people to other reasons to come to Springfield and spend money here.
There are a lot of, this is a, I would say it's a common thing, but there's, I mean, it's a growing thing. It's out there. So, different towns have different, you know, anything from your normal alcohol hours to restricting when the sidewalk can pay and, you know, seasonal, non-seasonal versus, you know.
I think you can restrict them right there with the noise. Quite frankly, I mean, boys are just already at 10 o'clock. You restrict those things to no alcohol at 10 o'clock. Again, I'm fortunate enough that I go here a couple of times a year, for a few weeks every time. And every time I go, it's my favorite part. Sit up there on the sidewalk, sit on the cafe, watch life go by. We have our beers. And come 10 o'clock, because it's in a neighborhood, they come out and tell us to get our butts inside or go home. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the rule, right? I mean, so that's, if you follow it, right? So, I mean, that can be a very good variant to put in there to make sure things do stay on the streets, make sure there is no overabundance of place when you're within reach of, very close to housing areas. So it's rented multiple times to have the noise ordinance. But we kind of limit it pretty well.
Questions for Vance, discussion on, you know, where to go next, or want to do a little research. And Caitlin, anything?
I think most of what we're talking about, too, here is out.
No.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's my sitting down having a COVID.
Yeah, it's all about the alcohol.
Yeah.
You get to go sit outside your park benches, you know, on up and down Main
Street. Because I have a coffee and a kolache and you sit down.
I think we're going into it. I think it's. And this is something that a council member would like to think about, maybe pick up a little bit more research. Think about it over time. I don't think we're going to have an ordinance, you know, starting next month, obviously, but it's something that we can work on over the winter and see how that works and get to understand that particular law a little better and how other towns have added it in. And like Van said, we're certainly looking forward. I see this as a tourist place, a quality of life kind of thing for trying to attract people to live in town.
Is there anything in that state law that states, in like a block off or anything so many feet off a highway, South Dakota, Bundle?
I can't choose it.
It just says, so, sale or consumption of alcoholic beverage on sidewalk abutting licensed premises permitted by ordinance. Notwithstanding the provisions of 35-4-35, the governing body of the municipality charged with the approval of alcoholic beverage license issuance may by ordinance permit the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages on a sidewalk or walkway subject to a public driveway abutting the licensed premises. A sidewalk or walkway subject to a public right-of-way shall be immediately adjacent to and abutting the licensed premises. This section does not apply to any federal aid eligible highway unless approved in accordance with the applicable requirements for the receipt of federal aid.
So the only way to have on Highway 37 is honestly to see if they have to take it and put it forward. I can say, okay, we're going to approve this before, but then it would have to go to the state. The state would have to approve it.
Yeah.
It might not look at your sidewalks. It might be, it might not. But the juice might not be squeezed.
Which Scott reached out to DOT, and they said it is illegal to deduct private business in the state right of way, which on Main Street is basically the front of the building. Since this road is federal aid eligible, DOT has to control encroachments such as this to be actually be eligible to get the federal aid. Therefore, DOT would not be able to allow this. So DOT through the state is saying absolutely not on the front part of the building.
That's what I was getting
at. Nothing on any other street that is not part of the state highway right away, the city would be able to do what they want.
However, I think if you're going to construct an ordinance, the one thing you have to consider is handicap access on those sidewalks. And I've said this to myself as well. You know, the sidewalks are typically 8 feet. You need to make sure you're securing at least 36 to 40 inches for handicap access down that sidewalk. You know, that people cannot have that there. And then when it comes to enforcement, quite frankly, and not that I want to put the problem myself, but really that kind of falls on the business. It doesn't necessarily fall on Garrett or around town chasing people off the sidewalk, you know, and saying, hey, get your beer back here. That falls on the business owner. Business owner can't maintain whether it's me or anybody else, can't maintain a decent crowd and make sure people's rules are communicated and the rules are followed. You're going to have your occasional person. On the whole, the business owner can't do that, and the business owner needs to be held responsible for it. Day, right? It's not Garrett's job to get a bicycle, right? Although it would be formal. But it's not his job to do that. It's really on the business owner to make sure you're maintaining your space. But if you're going to have the ability to do so.
On the west side, the parking area, is that city or is that your?
So the state ends essentially at the intersection wherever the sidewalk is, and then it goes on. And obviously the parking's a public street, so. It's not like anybody specific. It's not a
business. So if I put tables down the side like I did in the front, and then somebody said, hey, yeah, you have to be on the west side of the building. You cannot go past this.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't necessarily have to set some cities do more barriers. My recommendation was just to make kind of sense. And make sure people stay there. And you just, I think if you communicate it to the open building, it's not like bus 20 miles to a side cafe. They're going to go to Yankton, they're going to go to whatever the hell it is downtown. You know, we're really looking at is that tourist traffic. I did a market study for this town earlier this year, and a feasibility study because that has to be done before the bank will say yes. I got those things done. I came to find out that our town is not the market's not 830 people. The market is 14,000 to 16,000. Look at the traffic, DOT traffic numbers, golf course traffic numbers, GFP numbers. Start putting that together, it's a lot. And so I think we have an opportunity to really capture a lot from that tourist traffic and a lot more. And more things like this that we can offer, even if it's on the side streets, you know. It's not going to be 21 to 22 year olds having a regular sidewalk. That's something business will make sure to know. It's going to be, you know, daytime. So that's kind of.
Any other questions? See anything worth exploring over the course of the winter? Like I said, we have a couple other spaces that don't necessarily apply to sidewalks.
And I'm down there every night. See? Well, it does mean I don't have to go by like it. Bye.
Okay. No, I think that was good. That was something that was presented. I think it's worth looking at a bit longer term over the winter to see how we're at. They wish the parks 20 years ago and as we go down, and it may not necessarily be sidewalk, but it might be some other vacant spaces that we can see what we can do for entertainment pieces and stuff like that. Okay, thank you. Okay, the last item on the business, again, is the amended item, which is Steve wanted to add a nuisance. Steve came up to add an additional nuisance property discussion. Go ahead.
Check this out in his backyard. It's really starting to look bad to the point to where somebody has already put up a fence over there to where they don't have to look at the garbage that's on his. In the front, I don't know, I still think that it could be possibly cleaned up a lot better. Yeah, he's got a bunch of planters or whatever in front of him, and there's plants in them. But it still looks like, you know what? And then in behind his house, you know, and he's starting to end up just throwing all kinds of stuff back there. He's got a trailer back there that's starting to get full. You know, I don't want to say it. And people are saying, well, when are we going to do anything about Bazaar? Well, instead of possibly looking at, you know, we're always in Paul's eyes, we're picking on him all the time. So, you know, we could say, hey, you need to clean up your big pen.
You know.
Just from knowledge, he does have a wildlife or not livestock on his property as well. And he's overflowing onto the street with his new equipment and the trailer that he's recently purchased.
That's a violation of the ordinance, livestock.
He's got, what, two or three?
Three or four wild turkeys. He had a pig at one time.
So I think, and I know Garrett's here, he's looking at, he's worked with the game warden, I think, on some of that. Wild animals are a little different than livestock, but
that we're going to
get into.
I just heard somebody say he had a pig.
He did
in a cage for a while.
Well, that's in violation of 91 city ordinance.
And to me, you know, we can't do a heck of a lot about it. If his yard's that, I can't think of a word, but I hate to see the house. But yeah, I agree. I mean, we can't do nothing about that, but the outside, it needs to get cleaned up, all those other bits.
And there's lots of noxious weeds, and there's rats and multiple other animals that have come out of there that are just living there because of the situation.
Yeah. Then he complains about the cats.
But yeah, it'll just go according to the notices and the ordinance, and it'll work on getting some photos.
Send to you or send to Scott?
Well, you'd send it to here to the office so they can record it and get it to us. Garrett has the ability to take some of the photos too, and certainly council members identify, just remember, you know, the property limitations as far as going on properties and things like that.
Stay on their island.
And there is an alley that runs back there, so gather that stuff up and also like Garrett or the street department, water department, if they need to write observation letters for the city attorney, they can do that as well.
Okay.
Piece of information, Bill.
Do we need to make
piece of information on that alley? if a person wants to access that to look at the property from the backside, it does not go all the way through, which is a nice thing to know because it stops at the ditch.
Okay, so I'm out. If I'm not working tomorrow and I'm out running around and walking around, I'll get the pictures. Okay. Maybe Garrett will help me in the morning. Thank you.
We'll do that. Yeah, yeah. Do that. Get them collected too so they can have them saved on.
I have some I can send to you as well.
Okay, make sure that that's Amanda and Kayla, and so we can collect, like, put together, start putting together a package of what needs to get so that we can.
Okay, thank you, Barry.
And just kind of remember, you know, if you physically know something, you know, that there is an animal or something there, obviously get a picture. If you're not sure, just be honest and say, well, we kind of heard, but that's there, and we've got.
I've seen the other animals, but it's been a little bit, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But the last time there was those animals.
Just be honest with what you physically see at the time, and then get back, then deal with that. If it's something that was in the past, I'd say not actually.
Okay. David, I'll take you, Mayor.
Okay. With that, I have nothing for executive session unless the council members in the room do. I think we've covered everything tonight, so.
Motion to adjourn? Second.
These are bad. Just a reminder, you know, we have a new city employee starting very soon here, so, yeah, so if you see him, please let him know, and he'll get shorts pretty quick. So we need a vote. So Cheryl made the motion. Steve has seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Are you voting to adjourn?
Aye.
It is now 8:41 p.m. So this meeting is adjourned.
Get back.